every inclination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil all the time. The Lord was grieved that he had made man on the earth, and his heart was filled with pain. So the Lord said, I will wipe mankind, whom I have created, from the face of the earth, men and animals and creatures that move along the ground, and birds of the air, for I am grieved that I have made them. But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. The title of the message is From Bad to Worse. Bad to Worse. We're going through the book of Genesis and looking at the first mentions, looking at how God is revealing himself to mankind. And it all started off so good. It just started off so good. The perfect creation. Man created perfect man, perfect woman. So all things were perfect. They were. The knowledge of God was perfect. God was walking with man. And then it was the sin. The sin. And with the sin came the crashing down of the perfection. And I think it's important for us to remember what the sin was. What the sin was. It was an act of self-will. It was an act of independence of God. It was an act that I will do what I want to do. That was the sin. Because we think, when you think of sin, what do you think of? Oh, that's a sin. Oh, this is a sin. We could go, hold this. That is the sin. No, the sin is self-will. Me, I, my self-will. Acting independent of God. So with that one act of independence of God gives birth to man in his independent will and the way he can do anything he wants to anyway, anything that he sees is right in his own eyes. He's free to do that right in his own eyes. And therefore we come to the fruition of it all. God is showing us here in Genesis. This is a fruition. Maybe I should read that again. Here is the fruition of self-will, independence of God. The Lord saw how great man's wickedness on the earth had become, and that every inclination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil all the time. The Lord was grieved that he had made man on the earth, and his heart was filled with pain. So the Lord said, I will wipe mankind, whom I have created, from the face of the earth, men and animals and creatures that move along the ground, and birds of the air, for I am grieved that I have made them. But, aren't you glad for the but? But Noah found favor in eyes of the Lord. Let's continue to read this. We're going to be talking about Noah and the flood. Let's just read this. It's important, I think, for us to have the context. And we're going to build off this, and we're going to see some deep spiritual truth here. But to have the deep spiritual truth, I think it's important to read the whole thing. By the way, you know, I think I'm going to ruin your, children's time when you have the little ark and all the little animals in it. And I was outside waving a handkerchief outside the window. I don't think you're going to really be able to look at that way anymore. In fact, after you read this, you may not want to ever share this with your children again. Verse 9. This is the account of Noah. Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time. And he walked with God. Noah had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now the earth was corrupt in God's sight and was full of violence. God saw how corrupt the earth had become, for the people on earth had corrupted their ways. So God said to Noah, I am going to put an end to all people, for the earth is filled with violence because of them. I am surely going to destroy both them and the earth. So make yourself an ark of cypress wood, and make rooms in it, and coat it with pitch inside and out. This is how you are to build it. The ark is to be 450 feet long, 75 feet wide, 45 feet high. Make a roof for it, and finish the ark to within 18 inches of the top. Put a door in the side of the ark, and make it lower, middle, and upper depths. I am going to bring kind of food that is to be eaten and stored as food for you and for them. Noah did everything just as God commanded him. Noah did everything just as God commanded him. So starting off with this account, I want to start with this verse. As we're looking at this, as God's unfolding revelation, Noah did everything just as God commanded him. Look, if you will, in Hebrews chapter 11. Here you have a book, a chapter. It's called the Chapter of Faith. I mean, the whole Bible's a book of faith. But many people refer to Hebrews chapter 11 as a chapter of faith. And right there, in the beginning, is Noah. It gives us a vision. It gives us a picture. It gives us an understanding of what faith is. What faith is. And we'll also see why it's necessary. Necessary that the independence from God is totally counter with this. Self-will is totally counter with this. Hebrews 11, verse 7. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear, built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he condemned the world and became the heir of righteousness that comes by faith. Now, when you look at this, and we talked about this before, faith. What is faith? Faith is Noah, what? When warned. Noah heard something. You don't just have faith. You hear something. You read something. God moves something in your heart. You hear something first. When warned, he built. Did he just build? No. He heard. He heard, and then he built. He built. And so you see that if you build, without hearing, if you build without hearing, that's presumption. Okay? That's presumption. If you hear and do nothing, that's disobedience. But Noah's a man of faith. He went warned about things not yet seen. See, how many of we say, well, God showed us this, but I don't see that. I don't see what, how this can unfold. So I'm going to wait till I see. I'm going to give when I have enough money to give. How much faith is in that? See, it's being able to understand, being able to hear from God, and then being able to do what God says. Being able to do what He says. Now, the lesson from Noah to us for all eternity, from the first book to towards the end of faith, is hearing God and then doing what God says. You should be able to perceive, hear, and then move out and do what God shows you. As a church, hear and move out and do what God shows us. As a pastor, I should hear from God and present it and move out is what God shows us. By definition, that's why we're here. That's what makes us different. That's what makes us different. Now, so when you think about this, let's think about Noah. How many of you are struggling with Noah right now? I mean, come on, one guy builds his boat, all these animals. Are you struggling? Are you struggling with it? I mean, that's what I'm saying. Are you struggling with the flood? I mean, it's just hard for me to go that step. It's just hard to go that step. Are you struggling with Jesus? Are you struggling with Jesus? So thank you, struggling with Noah. You're struggling with Jesus. Now, you wouldn't say that. But how it'll work out, it'll work out in your faith. I believe God can do anything, almost. You see what I'm saying? Well, let's just look. I know what we can do. Let's see what Jesus said. Let's see what Jesus said. So we say he's okay. I mean, Jesus is cool, so we can talk to him. And we don't have to worry about all this. Floods and people getting killed and all this kind of stuff. Here we have Jesus. If you have a red-letter Bible, this is in red letter. So he actually said this. I mean, all the Bible's inspired, but this is red letter, okay? Matthew 24, verse 35. Matthew 24, verse 35. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. No one knows about that day or an hour, not even the angels. it was in the days of Noah. Jesus is delusional. If you believe there's no truth in Noah and the flood, Jesus is delusional. Or he's a flat-out liar. Make a choice. Do you ever wonder about our faith? I have faith. But then, what do we believe in? Do we believe in just what we pick and choose? Because now we've got an issue with Jesus. We have an issue with Jesus. In the days of Noah, so it will be in the coming of the Son of Man. Now he's even associating it with him. For in the days before the flood, the people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, up until the day that Noah entered the ark. I mean, Jesus is buying the whole ball of wax here, isn't he? Jesus is buying the whole thing. See, this is kind of, fish or cut bait, right? Fish or cut animal said in here, I'll listen to stories, and we'll believe in Jesus. But some of this kind of stuff I just can't embrace. You should spend your morning someplace else. Watch a ball game. Because you're talking about Christ. Who's delusional. If that's what you believe. Y'all with me? I mean, just call it for what it is. Call it for what it is. You've probably heard this before. People say, well, I believe that Jesus was just a good man. He wasn't God. I have something to tell you. I want you to remember this. Jesus was not a good man. Jesus was God. He was not a good man. Or he was a liar. Simple. He was a liar or he was God. He was delusional. Jesus confirms all of Genesis. He confirms Adam. He confirms Eve. He confirms the serpent. He confirms Noah. He speaks it. So that's who we're basing our salvation on, is Christ. And Christ believed the whole thing. Jesus believed the whole thing. So if that's our challenge, oh man, I wish I had the power of Christ, then believe what Jesus believed. Right there. So let's see. He's talking about all these pieces. This is the way it's going to be at the end, just before I come back. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage up to the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. This is how it will be of the coming of the Son of Man. Two men will be in a field. One will be taken. One will be left. Two women will be grinding in a hand. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. Hallelujah. How many of you really believe that Noah built the ark? Amen. You bet he did. I don't like the option of thinking he didn't. I don't like the option. Now, so this really is a belief issue. This really is a belief issue, and you think about it. It's a belief question about Noah, about Jesus, about scriptures, about salvation. Oh, I believe Jesus died on the cross for my sins. I believe he died on the cross as a substitute for me. I believe that I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. I am saved. But that stuff he's actually shared this one other time a few years ago, but I needed to approach it again since we have to go through Genesis. We have to look at Noah. Let's go back and look at Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6. And what I want to do is to see the theology in this event. We have established the event is actual and real. Amen? Because nobody here wants to call Jesus a liar. Anybody want you to raise your hand? Who here wants to call Jesus a liar? Okay, we're stuck with Noah and the ark, right? We're stuck with Noah and the ark. So, it's a reality, but with this reality, with this historical truth, let's look at the theology behind it. Now, you've heard me say before that the Bible has two parallel themes running through it. This is the purpose of the Bible. One theme is the unfolding revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ, or the revealing of who Jesus is. Okay? It starts in Genesis. We've already been talking about this. But it's unfolding revelation so we can see Jesus. It's revealing of who he is and what he's going to do. And it starts in Genesis. The other thing, this book, the Bible, is an unfolding revelation of the redemption of man. That means the buying back of man. Man fell, and God moves to buy him back, to save man, to redeem man through the Lord Jesus Christ. So you got two parallel themes in the Bible. The purpose of the Bible, is to reveal Christ and to reveal the redemption of man. That's the purpose. All right? So let's look and see what we find in the scriptures here. And I'm going to pull out some things. Now, I want you to look first at Genesis chapter 6, verse 8. Genesis chapter 6, verse 8. And it says, but Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. I want you to put your name there. Put your name there. If you accepted Christ as your Savior, if you accepted Christ as your Savior, put your name there. Whoever, Hans, you found favor in the eyes of the Lord. Amy, you found favor in the eyes of the Lord. See? They have found favor in the eyes of the Lord. And because they have found favor in the eyes of the Lord, God moves heaven and earth for them. What some of us do, well, what about Joe? Or what about some, I don't know about them. Let Jesus and them work it out. I think you're worried about you. Alright? And if you and Jesus get it right, I bet Jesus can get it right with everybody else. Amen? Well, see, put your name there. But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. And I want to show you this. And by the way, it's just about to be about Noah. Everybody else. You think Noah was hanging over the side of the boat and saying, man, what about those other billion people that God didn't think about? I think he's hungry. That's the Lord Jesus. Thank you. Me, you, right? An elephant. Me, you, okay. We'll thank you. See? It's like, okay, God, I don't know. It's just me and you. Don't play God. You don't know. You'll never figure it out. But one-to-one with Jesus, he will show you about you. So here we've got Jesus found favor. Look at verse 18, Genesis 6, 18. He tells Noah. See, God's just wiping out everybody. I mean, this is big. We're talking total destruction here. Then God says, Genesis 6, 18, but I will establish my covenant with you. With what? With Noah, who's found favor in the eyes of the Lord. I will restore my covenant with you. I found you found favor, and I'm going to restore my covenant with you. With you. And you will enter the ark. Amen? Y'all with me? So he's going to save you. And he's going to establish covenant with you. And he's going to put you on the boat. Right? Now, I want you to look at this. And this is a great verse. Like I said, I've shared this once before. But it is fascinating. Now, I want you to look at Genesis chapter 6, verse 14. So make yourself an ark of cypress wood. Make rooms in it and coat it with pitch inside and out.
outside of this ark and inside this ark are covered in tar. You know, you just dust that off. And, you know, kids do something nice. You just press it on the wall and just stick there. Right? And you sit and you've got stuff stuck to your back. And I mean, this, he didn't say it's going to be a fun trip, did he? But it's covered with pitch. It's covered with pitch. Okay? No big deal. The ark's covered with pitch. There is something. This is when you see something, you go, I can't believe this. I mean, Lord, is this possible? I mean, we're just talking about a big boat, bunch of animals. It's used to signify the atoning work of the sacrifice. You sin, you bring this little animal in, put your hand on it, your sin past that animal, we kill that animal, and you're atoned for. That's what it is. 100 times. This pitch means atonement, expiation. This ark is covered with atonement. This ark is covered with expiation. Now what? What are you? Isn't that interesting? Does anybody find that interesting? I mean, you could use any other word, you know? You know, heavy white plaster. I don't know. I mean, pitch. Pitch. 100 times Jewish sacrificial system. That particular word is used. And when you study the Jewish sacrificial system, the sacrificial system, and how many of you here were the study of Hebrews? You know? I mean, you hadn't left the church since then, right? 2 years in the study of Hebrews. Shows how the Jewish sacrificial system is a picture of Jesus. I mean, this boat is covered with atonement, which is Jesus. There's Jesus all over this ark. Jesus is all over this ark. Atonement is all over this ark. It says, Noah, get in the boat. Noah, get in with Jesus. And this thing is covered with Jesus. But Noah didn't have all the facts. Just did what God said. Get in the boat. Do I tell you? You don't have the full revelation. I'm giving you a piece. Get in the boat. We have the full revelation. We have the full revelation. Now let me show you an Old Testament verse where it uses pitch. Well, the original word. Turn to Psalms. Turn to Psalms. Psalms. I'm hoping y'all get getting the point here. We're going to look at, we're looking at Noah, ark, and the flood in a different light. Okay? It's not for your 4-year-olds and little smile graph, no, waving his hanky at all the people who drowned. I don't know who else he's waving to. You with me? There's theology in this thing. There's deep theology in what God is trying to show us here. And it's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. Let's don't ruin Jesus' message. Look at Psalm 78:38. Yet he was merciful. He forgave their iniquities and did not destroy them. Time after time he restrained his anger and did not stir up his full wrath. That word there says he forgave is pitch. It's the same word. It reads like this. Yet he was merciful. He covered the iniquities with pitch. And he did not destroy them. Just like Noah. Just like be excited the first time. This is my second time being excited. All right? Turn to Romans. Ask, if you have this picture in your mind, if you have this physical picture in your mind, then you put your arms around and grasp the fullness of what God is trying to tell us. Not only that, with that picture, you can grasp the fullness and you grasp the element of security. There's more of a security. You can see it. Oh, my God. This is what God is doing. It really is exciting. Now, turn if you will to Romans chapter 3. And by the way, I'm going to add a little footnote here. As you know, my testimony of never going to church or any of that kind of stuff, and I just read through the Bible and got saved, right? This is the verse. Next statement. Right here. This is it. That's it. So if you read the Bible from Genesis all the way here, you'll get it. I mean, it's a long time. But anyway, you know, you will get it. Now, let's start. Unfolding revelation of Christ. Unfolding redemption of man. Unfolding vision of God. Right here. Here is the completion. We have the physical picture with the ark and the flood. Romans chapter 3, verse 21. But now, a righteousness from God. Now, righteousness is like being as right as God. Where is this righteousness from? Don't you know how me out dozing off? Come on. This righteousness is from? Is it from you? Can you ever do enough to kind of get there? You can't. So God says, you can't get there. So here is righteousness from me. By the way, God says, you have to be righteousness to come before me. You have to be righteous to come before me, and you can't get there. Now, is that a bad news or what? Right? Is that bad news? You can't get there. But God said, since you can't get there, but now a righteousness from God. So what's that? Y'all need to look at this. I mean, this will change your life. This is it. Right here. It's all of Christianity. Right here. But now a righteousness from God apart from the law. And all God's people said, Lord Jesus, one of the things I'm preaching freedom in here, and I get people going, you need to preach the law. No! I'm not. What are you doing? It says it's apart from the law. You with me? Oh my gosh. See? Now a righteousness from God apart from the law has been made known to which the law and the prophets testify. You know what that means? Is the Old Testament tells you about freedom and salvation in Christ. The Old Testament, the prophets testify, speak of Jesus and salvation. And there it is. You all with me? Is this good? Good? We're good? I mean, this is good. Some of you don't like this is good. I mean, this has got your foot in heaven jumping for joy. This is good. Unless you like to hear that much. That'd be good news. Okay, I'll read it again. But now, a righteousness from God, apart from the law, has been made known to which the law and the prophets testify. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my Lord. Let's look at verse 22. This is huge now. Verse 22. This righteousness from God. Now, see, God's explaining it. Where's righteousness from God? He says, this righteousness, this being right, it comes from God. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. Oh, God's people say, you believe and you get God's righteousness because you can't be righteous. Adam took care of that. He took care of that. You're done. And without Christ, all you're righteousness. How do I get righteous? God gave it to me. And you believe on Jesus. And it's through Jesus. It's through Jesus you get that. It's through Jesus your sins are forgiven. There it is. Faith. You hear? I heard it, but I don't believe it. That's just fine. You're not on the boat. You're not on the boat. See, that's up to you. If you believe, you're on the boat. You're saved for eternity with Christ because you have a righteousness from God. Continue. There is no difference, Paul, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. How many here have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God? Okay, you know what that means? You're cooked. I mean, you're done. You're done. Hell's a smoking for you. Because all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. You're done. Why aren't you done? Because I have faith in Jesus. And I believe, and I'm on the boat. I'm on the boat. It's right here. He's right here. Now, it goes on and says this. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified. You are justified freely. You know what justified means? Declared righteous. All of you fall short of the glory of God. That's all of us, right? All of us fall short of the glory of God. Would anybody here dare say they don't fall short of the glory of God? Come on. If you do, I mean, how can that possibly? God is absolutely totally 100% perfect. Are you? And if you think you are, why ask why? See, you see what I'm saying? Now, so what you have here, all sin and fall short of the glory of God and are justified, declared righteous, spoken righteousness is spoken to them. Where did that righteousness come from? Where is the righteousness from? God. So we are justified, and it says freely. Look at your Bible, it's not freely. Freely. How much work do you got to do? How much work do you got to do to be justified? Huh? How many of you just working your little fingers through the moment to be justified? Ain't going to happen. Not going to happen. Because all have sinned, you're going to mess up. You have messed up. You will mess up. But you will be declared righteous freely by His grace. His grace is His power that comes from Him, that works in your heart to transform you. His grace is power and favor. So you're justified freely by His power and His favor. Justified freely by His grace. Okay, now I'll show you. Remember what I said the Bible was about? It's the unfolding revelation of Jesus Christ. That's what it's all about. It's the unfolding revelation of the redemption of man. And here is the conclusion. You're justified freely by His grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. Fulfilled. Done deal. Done. Right there. The revelation of Jesus. Done deal. Revelation, redemption, of man. Done deal. Right there she be. Verse 24. That's it. You're justified freely by His grace. Grace through the redemption. Redemption. What's the Bible? The unfolding revelation of the redemption of man. You're saved. You're saved by grace through the redemption of who? Jesus Christ. The unfolding revelation of Jesus Christ. It's finished right here. And you're saved. Me, a poor student. Now, I think the Bible may have been the first book I've read. You may be saved. A few comic books. I know. But I read it from Genesis to here. I got saved. There's no excuse for you smart people not to be saved. It was me. It was Amen. I mean, it is here. Right here. The redemption that came through Christ Jesus. Now listen to this. Are you ready for some meat? Okay? Now I would say you jump up and down, but y'all ain't moving worth a flip. My spring is given to you. So, okay. Follow me. And I'm going to use the King James interpretation of this. You are just a... Remember the ark? Remember the ark? Remember the ark? It's covered with pitch. Get on the ark, and you're saved. Okay? And you're saved by the pitch. Expiation. So here we go. 24. And you are justified freely by his grace, the redemption that came by Jesus Christ, whom God presented as pitch. I'm like, somebody say something. Amen. There's nobody jumping. Nobody. You were saved by Jesus Christ, whom God presented as pitch. He's the pitch. He's the covering of the boat. He's the fulfillment of the ark. He's the salvation of mankind. He established the covenant with us, the ones on the boat. He did all he can do. Now, the NIV says it like this. Came by Jesus Christ. God presented him as the sacrifice of atonement. Sacrifice of atonement is propitiation or expiation. See, it's just it means all of those. Okay? But the King James, the Revised Standard Version, says expiation. King James says propitiation. This one says sacrifice of atonement. They basically also mean the same thing. But what expiation, the word expiation, which it uses in other places, means the same thing as it says is pitch in Genesis 6. So God presented Christ, Jesus Christ, was presented by God as pitch. He was presented by God as expiation, is the word. God presented Christ as expiation. Oh, it goes on and says this. Through faith in his blood. You know what the pitch is? It's his blood. You know what was smeared all over that ark? His blood. You know what saved you above destruction? His blood. It's his blood. Jesus Christ. God gave Jesus Christ, and his blood is the pitch on that ark. He killed him. He made him die. He poured out his blood. We're saved. And we're saved by the blood. When you think, what does that mean? What does that mean? We're saved by the blood. You're in the boat. The boat's covered with his blood, and it keeps the water out. We're saved by his blood. The water can't get in because of his blood. It's afloat because of his blood. We're saved by the blood. And we understand it because we see what happened with Noah. Jesus and his blood are pitch. Amen? And we got in the boat. You know what it says in Genesis? When everybody gets in the boat, there's one door. One door. Everybody gets in. You know what it says about that boat? Everybody got in. It says, God closed it. How many of you worry about your eternal salvation?
God closed the door. You get in, he ain't going to let you out. Shut. He shut it. One door again. He says, he closed the door. He closed the door. I want y'all to think about this. Just think about it. Think about it. Think about what God has done for you. I also want to tell you something else. It is fascinating to me. And I'm kind of a simple guy. I mean, look, I have no problem with ark and flood and animals and whole bit. None of it. I just don't, you know? And as a result, I have with a lot of this stuff. It's just like, I'm happier than most people because I don't worry about most things other people worry about. You know? Too simple. But I'm empowered by what this is. I'm empowered by what this is. I'm motivated by what this is. I believe every single word. I question nothing in it. Not one thing. And like it. You know, it's a little flannel graph and have no up there.
this is really important. I want you to think about this. I want you to think about this. Think about what the Bible says. Speak to that mountain and it will move. Well, no. What did God say? Speak to that mountain and it will move. That's what he said. Why don't you believe that? Now, I think it needs to be by faith, because you hear and then you speak and cooperate with God and it moves. Because he doesn't want you going around like Merlin the magician, you know, just snapping and popping stuff all over the place. That's it. No, he wants you to hear. But once you are here, once you believe, once you see, once you hear, he'll say, I got